This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu and you're listening to Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Annis Lin is a visual artist, documentary and sports photographer. She developed her passion for photography while obtaining her professional architectural degree and was named a prominent alumnus for her work. She founded Antopia in 2015 as a platform to further her creative pursuits in authentic portraits, weddings and designs. And she's the co-founder of Women Photographers Malaysia with a vision to develop an inclusive culture that increases gender equality by ensuring better support and empowerment of women photographers through visual storytelling. Now, before we get into what you're doing, right, I want to talk about your past life as a former national figure skater first. How did you get into that? And then, of course, that how that transitioned to photography. But, you know, your life as a national figure skater.
Yeah, I think it started out with when my mom really wanted me to get into ballet. Yeah, and I wasn't really into ballet at that point. So I was really I was really in love with gymnastics.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, watching TV shows, watching Astro, I remember. So something about gymnastics that embodies strength to me. Mm-hmm. Not that ballet didn't, but at that point, I was really into gymnastics. So when we came across figure skating as we are in Penang, I remember that time at Bukit Jambu. Mm-hmm. So I did spend like 4 years when I was 4 to 8 in Penang.
Right.
So when I was 4 or 5 years old, we came across figure skating. And it's figure skating is something that highly unheard of in Malaysia because it's a winter sport.
Right.
That sets in stone in tropical equatorial climate in Malaysia. So we did have a compromise with my mom's like, because she wants ballet, I want gymnastics. And I feel like regardless all these three sports, ballet, gymnastics and figure skating is a core lesson of technicality and artistry.
Okay. Yeah. So then, of course, then that happened. You grew up and then, of course, you did architecture, right? I would have thought you would go into sports management or something like that. Why the love for architecture, art?
Yeah, because all this while, I was really into art. Growing up, I loved sketching.
Mm-hmm.
I loved painting, even FTM. I took up pendidikan seni as my extra co-curricular. And although I love science, so one thing that links everything together, being said that the figure skating is a coalescence of technicality and artistry. So architecture is something as well. I wanted something in between.
Mm-hmm.
So architecture is the same, sharing the same core value in terms of it's very strong in technicality and artistry as well. That meaning saying that the technicality will be science, physics, how people channel load, load bearing, foundation, you know, reinforce concrete and stuff. And then there's the art side that you need to tackle, which is sketching concepts, providing solutions when problems arise. Yeah.
Right. So, of course, you discovered photography while at university studying architecture. So how did you explain that to your mother? You know, did you ever practice as an architect?
I did for a bit.
Okay.
I did for like maybe the first year and a half.
Okay.
So during architecture days, we basically have to be our own COE, which is chief of everything.
Right.
Chief of everything, meaning started like it begins with pitching to your lecturer like what ideas you have. Then you start sketching. So this is where all the artistic comes in. You start sketching. Then after that, you start providing solutions for the problem. Let's say for a site visit, we tackle this issue. Everybody is like centered around Sentu. Then you have to know what is the problem with Sentu. Why is there like a fast up flat UTC and then opposite there's a new development building going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but capers and fennels and that. So you have to find the balance for the community. That's where you provide solution. Then after that you have to build everything up in terms of compute. You have to computerize it. You have to sketch first.
Right.
Then after that do physical model, you know, with your glue gun and everything,
right,
and physical model, computerize it. Then at the end, you have to gather your charismatic skills to the test to pitch to clients, jury. Yeah, and then halfway through that, while putting up your presentation board, you have to take photos of your models. Yeah, so that's where slowly it becomes, and during site visit, you have to take photos of from buildings, then slowly when you tackle communities, you have to photograph certain photos as your precedent study.
Right.
So that's where, yeah. So through angles, you know, architecture, there's a lot of like angles, lights and shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, I kind of like gravitate towards all these elements. And then that's how I found photography as well.
Right. So, okay, I know that your work involves photography, doing weddings and all that, right? Photography for mm-hmm. weddings and all.
Yeah.
You know, so how has the pandemic affected your ability, to earn an income?
In terms of wedding, definitely it is disheartening, not just mm-hmm. for us as creatives, but mm-hmm. for your clients as well, for the people who called in and say that, you know, during this unprecedented time that, like, they don't know what's happened. Some wanted to pull out, and we just try our best to work with our clients.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely been put off when it comes to weddings. Most of them pushed to next year and towards this year, and or who knows what's going to happen. But one thing that really binds us together, that it is happening around us, you know. So you can either see this from a place of fear, or a place of opportunity for more possibility. So when that's been put off, that I focuses on, in the meantime, I'm very grateful that I focuses on documentary as well. So regardless on the genre of photography, it has a really vast genre that is landscape or astrology or weddings or documentary. It all revolves around people and life.
So what are some of the campaigns you're working on right now? You talk about documentary or even, what's been keeping you busy lately?
What's been keeping me busy now is obviously Women Photographers Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So previously was more of having an ongoing assignment to cover COVID, actually. Cover mm-hmm. COVID meaning that to seek for stories that stood out during this time, let's say such as the refugees, how they cope up with COVID, I've been assigned from Hong Kong and Singapore to, some of them are social enterprise, who their artisan is actually a refugee. So they assigned me to go to their home to basically do a photo story on how these family cope with COVID and how they find jobs or how they even survive. Basically through this.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, through their story, you learn a lot as well. You know, you tend to have a lot of people complaining, no joke. There are a lot of us complaining, but we just didn't realize that what we have now, they all say, you know, the usual is like, oh, COVID, we can't go anywhere, we can't see our friends, we can't travel. But when I was basically allowing and being assigned to this job to cover, story of the resilient during this COVID, and you have come to realize for yourself that you don't really need a lot, because these people that I'm photographing, whether they are refugees or they are someone that was slightly underprivileged in terms of living and livelihood, that all they need is each other, really. As cliche as it sounds. So every assignment I go, I also tell myself that I need to learn something from every assignment I was assigned to in terms of photography, yeah.
You have always been very active with the Kuala Lumpur Photography Festival. So how are things done differently this year? It went on.
Yeah, it went on. Mm-hmm. It was something that I guess a lot of photographers look forward to in terms of reuniting with friends or meeting new friends, and it's for collaboration and being inspired. So I was involved in 2018 as well. A lot of things happened in 2018. So it started off with as a finalist, and then after that, with my ambassadorship with Canon, they put us through for public speaking as well, sharing. And through that, 2019, I was invited back as a speaker, and 2020, where the establishment of Women's Photographer of Malaysia, WPM in short, the organizer actually came to us and so generously, after 1 month, exactly after 1 month, we established Women's Photographer of Malaysia, that they say that we would like to, give you an opportunity, a platform to showcase and curate to represent 30 female photographers for an exhibition.
Right.
And it's going to be a virtual one.
Right.
Yeah, so from that on, we decided to put it on our social media page. Initially, we thought, okay, you know what, if we get 20 photographers join in, and then maybe we extend 10 as invite, we'll be happy, you know. Like, again, we don't really see forward at that time. It's not because we have low self-esteem, me and my team. It's just that we are representing and we are doing something that is highly unheard of. So we are really not sure. But end up, there's 95 submissions.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, your support for women photographers and also some recent awards in just a moment. I'm here with Annis Lin. Stay tuned to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Her Vantage. Frida Liu here. This is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Annis Lin, who's a visual artist, documentary and sports photographer. I interviewed her years ago. You know, of course, she's grown and evolved over the years. You know, you talked about your work with Women Photographers Malaysia. You're a co-founder there. Why was there a need to set up something like this? And, you know, what is, when you talk about equality, how is that different for women photographers?
When it comes to equality, even though you see like there's reaps and bounds over the years, but with a lot of like women empowerment campaign from other countries, actually, you may think that it's okay from your end, but I realized there is a lack in Asia or Southeast Asia, and even so Malaysia, is where when I came back from the covering the Winter Olympics in 2018 in Pyeongchang. So in 2018 in Pyeongchang, when I came back, obviously IOC, the International Olympic Committee, will give us a breakdown chart. Will give us a big breakdown chart in terms of like how many participants and all. So the chart is not with me now, but I do remember that there's 1,000 quota for the EP accreditation form, which is for photographer.
Right.
So 700 plus photographers showed up. Who actually show up at the Olympics. For validated press breakdown, there's around 2,309 male in total, and there's only 544 female. But this is just press. But true that, yeah. So when it comes to that, a total of 774 photographers out of that 1,000 quota, yeah,
right.
774 photographers from 50 countries were accredited. Right. So the breakdown is 667 photographers are male.
Right.
So that is 89.7%. And I was one of the really lucky 77 female photographers accredited, which is only 10.3%.
Okay. Yeah. So when you have these conversations, right, is it because women are not given the opportunity, or women are just not interested? You know what I mean? Like, of course, we want to level the playing field, right? So, I mean, in Malaysia, was there a setback because you were a woman?
To be honest, that is the stereotypically thinking of that.
Right.
But in actual fact, right, when I was given the opportunity to do so, or even now, I think women have to encourage each other that we can do it. So I guess in the human nature that when they see that there's not many women, they will automatically assume. That's what I think.
Right.
Yeah, they will automatically assume. But in actual fact, that when you are in the field, yes, in times you will belittle or mistreated unfairly, but other than that, you're able to manage if you really persevere through.
Right.
There's no one like they will put you down or they will deliberately sabotage you in such ways. But if you can do it, you really can. So I guess what I want to round out this whole thing is that I think people just don't see enough. So I guess conversation and representation from that is not enough.
So yeah, so we want to see more faces of women in photography. And, you know, this is a career option, right, that people, maybe women, never thought of, right? So tell me about your involvement with the Malaysia general election 2018.
So for the GE...
So long ago, huh?
Yeah, it seems like it's quite a while ago.
Yes.
I still think, going down to memory lane, that at that time it was around April, so in between the Olympic coverage. So I just came back,
right?
Take a breather because it is quite a lot to cover. So, but prior before that, the year my friend YB Kerr, who is now YB Kerr, he's. So his dad was the general secretary for Lim Kit Siang. So unfortunately, his father passed away. So Kurt Chi currently, so as a son, he feel like it's his duty as a younger generation you know, the youth in Malaysia to step up. Because if you want change, a lot of people say they want change. Mm. Yeah, it's easy to say that we want change by the tip of our tongue. But, you know, if you really want change, I think you really need to step into it.
Right. So you came in taking photographs of things, of the event.
I came in as his photographer, actually,
right,
throughout the whole election. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
I think, then again, saying that as a photographer, a lot of people do not realize even now that because social media, there's it's an ambiguity that you won't realize in social media that what is a good photo now and what is an acceptable photo with Instagram and Facebook. So it's about perspective as well. So he needed a concerned photographer that will shadow him and tell him and to basically encourage others as well through my lens and through his lens, because basically I'm shadowing under him. So he asked me to come in as his, because with architecture as the background, I'm able to do design as well. So at that point, I was his design team as well. And at the same time, throughout the last month of election that I really put in, because I have a full-time job that time. So we delegate, meaning that he's in Malacca. So the Dune is in Malacca. So basically, at that time, it enables me to be an on-site editor as well. So I was based in KL.
Right.
So he would need, so he has volunteers in Malacca to photograph. And the volunteers, obviously, they needed some help. So for me, usually I'll stand by on WhatsApp. They will video through the location, like, okay, where is the best angle? So from there, I able to mentor some volunteers as well at that time. Yeah.
What was your full-time job at that time?
At that time, I was a project coordinator in an organization for old folks and children home called Rumah Cherish. Yeah.
All right. I see. I didn't know you were involved with so many things. So I know you've received many awards, over the last couple of years. But I guess the most recent one is the Women the Future Award, Southeast Asia 2020. Tell me about that award and, you know, what it means to you.
Yeah, definitely that award. It means incredibly a lot to me. Because first and foremost, as a photographer, it's not a photography award. As photographers, we always dream of getting, like, let's say, a World Press Award and stuff like that, Pulitzer, HIPAA Award. But this award is particularly special because it's about, it really structured me in a way that, and opened my eyes that, you have to see yourself beyond as a photographer.
Right.
You know, as a photographer, you're not just a photographer there to basically, like, a click of a button of photo. It really all comes to me that, you know, you're a photographer that photographs things that resonate. It's important.
Right.
You know, your job is to, as storyteller or photographer, your job is to reform and impact others through your photos. So initially when I won, it's really like you think like, oh, it's by... At that point, it's not that I don't have an understanding. Like, I'm still learning, you know, as we go. So at that point, it's more like, oh, when you win, you give yourself a pat on the back, like, oh, this is your merit. You know, the first thing is like, oh, you done it. For myself, I put I in front first.
Right.
And on that day, it's like, okay, good job, you know. Good job, Anis. Put a back, pat yourself on the shoulder. Until the next day, I got a message from someone that I don't know at all. In this message, I actually saved this message up as a constant reminder to stay grounded and to just keep yourself reminded that why you do what you do. So for this young lady here, she said, congratulations, Anis. You do not just make Malaysia proud, but you make us ladies as well. You gave a new hope to photographers like me that anything is possible.
Right.
Yeah.
See,
so she said the journey, she did mention that the journey wasn't easy, like being belittled, being cheated for payments and stuff. So I feel like, by some way, if God put me in this position, because truly, it could be anyone, it could be any female photographer winning Women of the Future in the arts and culture. That is like my personal, like, I would say revelation in terms of point thinking, the next day, the very next day in the morning. So someone sent this to me, and I feel like, if really God put me in this position that to somewhat make a change, then I will try my best to do so. Yeah.
Right. What else can I say to that? But amen.
yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that story. I've been speaking to Annis Lin, visual artist, documentary and sports photographer, and many, many other things. Of course, you can check her out on your website, right? That's Annis Lin.
.com.
All right. And it's A-N-N-I-C-E-L-Y-N. So not so easy to find. You got to get the spelling right.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us. This has been Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.